Today I want to try to make a very advanced operation simple, or in terms that you'll understand. We've been talking a lot about moving in the face of God. I want to share with you something you'll understand in terms of where we walk with God. You hear me talking about the face of God and how to transcend time. And here's talking about all this. I'm like, what is he talking about? How we do this? It's like, I want to try to share it in a way you'll understand and say we'll bring an advanced operation, like I said, into simplicity. How about that? Amen. So let's start with something that we all understand. I want to talk to you about the realm of righteousness. Now, we all know 2 Corinthians 5. We'll start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who know no sin, say we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, I understand that when God introduced this new covenant, he was dealing with a very works-oriented nation. They were born out of works. They kept the law. That's what they did. And here comes Christ, and he shifts the covenant, as we all know, and suddenly they're preaching righteousness that's by faith and not of works. That means that everything they had to do back then had to be changed. Their whole approach to God had to be changed. That's what they struggled with, because all they ever knew was works. Righteousness, which was works. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, said, I found a righteousness. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. Concerning the works of the law, I was blameless. Do you know what it takes to keep the law in a blameless state? Do you know the discipline that it takes? You couldn't even go outside and lift a piece of firewood on a Sabbath day. If you so much as carried firewood on a Sabbath day, you could be stoned for that. It's so many ordinances, so many things. And Paul said, I keep this blameless. He goes, but I found that whole operation to be but dung. And he's actually in the Tullian keep in Rome when he was writing this letter. So the Tullian keep was their prison system. They housed all their prisoners down in the sewer system. And so he was actually standing in dung when he was writing. He said, but I count this whole thing but dung that I may win Christ. He says, to be found. It's one of my favorite scriptures when dealing with the righteousness. To be found in him, not having my own righteousness. So today I'm going to paint a little picture of who we are in Christ, where we are, and then where you really are, where we are in reality. So we have where we are in reality, and then we have where we are in Christ. I'm going to show you how to actually, I call it transcending time, transcending who you are. Let's say it like that, to who he is. There's a place where only you're going to get so far in where you are right now. So far in character, so far in the fruits of the Spirit. There's only so far you can get in your own self or in your present walk with God. In your present time frame, you're limited. Kim was talking about an unlimited place today. But in God, there's an unlimited place. So do we walk and struggle all our life to obtain something that's already been obtained for us? So he said it like this. I want you to go to a scripture. I want you to see this. Go to Romans 1 and 19. Then we're going to look at who he is, who we are, where we are versus where he is, and how to get where we are to where he is. The whole key to the kingdom of God, which I'm seeing now, there is an advanced operation made simplistic that allows us to fast forward into where he is versus where we are. And this is how we're going to get there. This is how we're going to be the generation that's holy and without blame before him in love. This is how we're going to be the bride without spot and wrinkle. This is how we're going to be an overcoming generation. We're going to have to transcend who we are, where we are. If you're basing your walk with God on where you are, you will struggle a lot. If you base your relationship with God on where He is and who you are in Him where He is, then you can transcend time, if you will, space, if you will, and walk in a place, receive in a place with God that you don't presently hold in reality. Let me do it like this. Go to Colossians 1. Hold your finger in Romans 1. We'll be back. Go to Colossians 1 verse 21. And you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, watch this, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight, if you continue in faith. Now go to Ephesians 1. Don't forget this. Say holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Which person in this sanctuary right now in the last week has been holy, unblameable, unreprovable? Which person just in the last month? Which one of us in here can say, I am holy in where you are? We're just talking about where you are, not in your super spiritual faith. It's where you are. Say holy, unblameable. That means you had no attitude. Unreprovable, without proof, mean you're pretty much perfect. Which one of us in the last 30 days has obtained that for 30 days? Raise your hand. Come on, let's go to the altar. Hallelujah. Okay, he says it again. Go to Ephesians. But he says, in his sight, you are holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Go to Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Love that scripture. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Wait a minute. He chose us before the foundation of the world to be in Christ, holy and without blame before Him in love. Before you were ever born, you were chosen in Christ to be holy and without blame. That is who you are where He is. And then you have who you are where you are. So you have, who am I, where I am? Everybody knows your issues. Who am I, where He is, where you want to be? To get to where He is, you're not going to be able to work for it. Which one of you today, for the next 30 days, 24 hours a day, is going to be holy, without blame, unreprovable, unblameable? And if you did, you'd be like Paul. You kept it perfectly out of the most Mary Poppin disciplined personality ever. But then Paul, he said, I already did the discipline route. I already kept it all, but I count it but dung. Because there's nothing there if I'm doing it. Because it's still never going to obtain what He already obtained for me. He already obtained something for me that really in this whole lifetime, in the natural, I'm never going to really obtain it all. But He already did it. Now, we're not talking about just being saved and going to heaven. I'm talking to you about how to stand in that place that's perfect. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. And Jude has another one. Says He presents you in Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. He presents you faultless. He presents you faultless. Without blame. Unblameable. You know the only one blaming you is you. And the devil. And people. You can self-condemn yourself, but there is no condemnation in Christ. People can condemn you. The devil will definitely try to condemn you, but your mediator, your intercessor, will never condemn you. He's not standing in judgment over you. If you see that he is, you have a very wrong perception of who he is. Until that perception changes, you'll be afraid to approach him when you've done something wrong. The day you realize when you've done something wrong, you can run to him and not run from him. You know how many people are hiding from God out of shame and guilt and condemnation? Because they think they've got to be perfect. The original lie, if you'll eat from this tree, you'll be as God. You'll be perfect. Just eat from it. You'll see. That was the original sin. Man is believing that I can be perfect if I eat from this tree. And man's been imperfect ever since. So, Hebrews, I'm going to try to bring you into the face of God and how the face of God actually works. How to make an exchange outside of where you are or outside of time. How do I get me into my future? Am I going to work to get there? How do I get into this place of blessing and favor and glory when I'm full of all this other stuff? Hebrews 10 verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. How many are sanctified in here? Then you are perfected forever. Holy. Without blame. Unblameable. Unreprovable. Presents me faultless. Hallelujah. Glory. That's so awesome because that's sweet by and by. What about now? What about this morning? What about yesterday when I had an issue and an attitude? How do I get over there when I'm dealing with me? Nobody knows you like you know you. Am I going to strive to be better? Am I going to work harder to be better? Oh, if I can just get this thing where God will accept me. But you're already accepted. Some people are trying to get God to accept them because they're full of a lack of acceptance. How do I get over to that place? We'll call it this side. The good side. The right hand. How do I get over here? But I am living all the time over here. How do I go over there? The key, I think I'm quite qualified in this area because I, as you know the story, I was raised in a dysfunctional household with all these issues, but I learned something with all my issues. I mean, you can be a person with a whole lot of issues that can contain more of God than someone who has it all together. People don't understand that. How does this person with all these issues obtain God when someone who has it all together, they may be a really nice church person, but they can't get a hold of God? Because one person bases it on themselves and the other one person, I definitely don't base it on me. But I base it on him and where he is in this person with all the issues. Learn how to escape where they are, who they are, into the place they are in Christ. Or found, Paul said, look, I obtained it perfect, but I'm telling you there's nothing there to the perfection of flesh. Even perfection of goodness. being a goody-two-shoe, keeping the law. There's nothing there. It's still empty and vain. He goes, there's another place that I escaped in the Christ, and I'm found in Him having no more my own. And even though I did a really good job of doing it all right all the time, it's nothing. It's still empty. So whether you're a person that can keep it all together, or whether you're a person that's full of dysfunction, whether you're Mary Poppins or Jack Daniels, it really doesn't matter. Because in Christ, you still all have the same standing. And that standing is perfect. That standing is without blame. Do you know what it feels like to have a whole bunch of issues on this side and make an exchange? Not only does God do this, He says it, come boldly in Hebrews. How do you come to the throne of grace so you might find help and mercy? He's telling the person who needs help, that needs mercy, that needs grace, to come boldly. That means you've got a whole lot of issues, got a whole bunch of stuff, and He's saying, come boldly. Most people with issues that are full of condemnation that actually need the help, that need the mercy, not the perfect ones. He didn't tell the perfect ones. The ones of you that's full of issues and dysfunction, that need help, that need mercy, that need the grace, come boldly. Most people like that don't march into God boldly. If anything, they crawl into God. Come begging God, help me! Forgive me! Most of them come in weeping. They're not coming in boldly. But He's extending an invitation to you anyway. What He's doing is saying, hey, I extend an invitation to you to come to the throne of grace. What happens at the throne of grace? Well, I get forgiven. Awesome. What else? What else happens there? The throne of grace is a place of exchange. The throne of grace can't be Googled. Not going to find it in the natural. It's a spiritual place. You have to come in spiritual. It's a place you have to come in to by faith. It's a place where I have to leave my struggle. I have to leave who I am. And I have to believe who I am over here. How do I do that? The first thing, I have to know who I am. I already know who I am in this realm, but that's not who God's identifying with. You identify with you where you are. You should write that down. I identify with myself where I am. God does not identify you where you are, but you think He does. And you believe He does. And that's this barrier between you and God, because you think He's seeing you the way you're seeing you, but He's not. He's over here. He's identifying you as what? Holy. How can you call me holy if you've seen the things that I can do? How can you call me without blame when you know my capacity? How can you say that I'm unprovable? How about it's forever perfected? I'm just trying to get up in the morning. How can I be this man of dysfunction, but you tell me I'm this person of perfection over here? Because that's the glory of our gospel. This is the kingdom of God. Christ already obtained that perfection. You're never, ever going to obtain it in the natural, no matter how good you are. It doesn't give you a license to go keep doing what you're doing. Well, grace covers me. No, that's not what grace does. Grace will teach you how to go over there in exchange. It's not that He wants you to keep you who you are and just call it grace and I'll do whatever I want by grace. No, 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 no. Identify who you are. Repent of who you are. But then follow Him where He is. Don't keep struggling where you are, because you're going to get the same results. You keep doing it that way, you'll be the same way next year, in the year after, in the year after. The only way to really change is to step out of where you are. The only way to really change is to step in to who He is. This is done in the throne of grace. This is why we tell you, come boldly. We go through a door. There's a door. Because I can feel this jurisdictional shift. It's a very different place than this realm. You're a spiritual being, a dual citizen. You have a citizenship in heaven, an eternal citizenship in heaven, and you have a citizenship here. This thing I'm talking about has to be done there. We come bold. How do I do that? Just practice. We teach you. We have a whole series on it. We have prayers on it. Learn. Come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to where I am. You notice He's always calling us to where He is. And we're always, God, come to me. God, come to me. He will come to you. There's only a certain amount of that you're going to get. If you want the perfection, if you want the exchange, you got to go to where He is, because that's where the power is. That's where the identity is. Because going to Him, I'm going to surrender who I am. The throne of grace is more than just asking forgiveness and walking away forgiven. That's awesome. I want more than that. When you learn to be your worst, have your worst day, just imagine the worst morning ever. You wake up. I mean, you just lose. How many of you ever just lost it? How many of you just lost it? Like in the morning before anything started. Your husband or wife said, you need to go pray. Right? You lost it and you've got, I mean, everything's going on. All right. So now I'm going to pray. The day you learn to exchange, I'll promise you there have been days like this. I had a lot of them where I'm at my worst. But I learn to go in. I'm looking for more than just forgiveness. Forgiveness is good. I'm looking for an exchange. I'm looking to go through the door. I'm looking to come throne of grace to surrender. And I'm looking to enter into union with Him with all that stuff. Well, of course, there's a process because I've got to unload. You hear me talking about unloading. We teach you how to do this, by the way. There have been days, just for teaching's sake, that I've had one of those mornings. On and I were not in our perfected state. Walked out, just, oh, I'm going to do something with her. God said, how about you? So I got to get all that taken care of. Okay, I forgive her, Lord. Okay, now forgive me. But I'm still, okay, I got forgiveness, but I am nowhere near anywhere. I'm just, ugh. How many have been in the presence of God or trying to get in the presence of God with the ugh? You're trying to pray, but you're full of the ugh. Most of the time when you got the ugh anointing, you walk out. It's like, oh, forget it. Let's just live for another day. Because I have to only walk with God when I feel like it. There's a way to walk with God to overcome the ugh. No way you're going to overcome the ugh. How good are you going to be that day to overcome the ugh? Because you're not, it's in your emotions, it's in the atmosphere, it's in your mind, probably in your mouth, and you've got the ugh on you. How to overcome that? I'm still perfecting Him. I just don't feel like it. I'm not there yet. I'm somewhere in between. I've at least forgiven, asked for forgiveness, but I still got the ugh on me. Atmospheric ugh. Because you're trying to approach God, and you got all this stuff on you. And most of the time, we just quit. This is where faith comes in. I'm going to share with you a very powerful verse now. Go to Romans 1. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look for more than just being forgiven. I'm going to stand in there by faith, and I'm not only going to forgive and get forgiven, because you're not going to get anywhere if you're holding unforgiveness. You cannot win the battle. You might as well let go. Do you want to be right or do you want to be righteous? If you want to be righteous, you have to forego being right because you might be in the right, but you have to let all that go. If you want to justify your position, you'll never get His because you're still justifying yourself where you are, and that is not how you obtain. God exalts the humble. Got to get a little humility here. Verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just will live. You're going to have to learn to live this way. By faith. You're going to enter into one level after another after another. You just don't wake up and say, I'm the righteousness of God. Now I'm forever perfected in Him and I just stand in the forever perfected state. No, it's revealed gradually as you learn to stand in your position. I let go of who I am. I embrace who He is. The righteousness will be revealed from faith to faith. Say faith to faith or glory to glory. It's a new level each time. I'm leaving my own estate. I break agreement with my own estate. In fact, I bury this old man. I know his capacity. I'm either going to struggle with him, I'm going to be condemned with him, I'm going to wallow in the shame, or I'm going to get out. The choice is mine. Do I wallow in my own mistakes, though they be many, or do I let go of who I am and step into who He is? The righteousness will be revealed from faith to faith. As you continue from faith to faith, you'll learn how to access more and more of Him. No matter who you are, where you are. You'll be able to access more and more of who He is, where He is, who you are in Him, where He is. No matter who you are, where you are in the natural. Every one of us have a certain place we've obtained. Some of us just beginning, some of us more advanced. Some have a more advanced character in the where we are now. Really, I'm telling you, it's good if you have advanced character. Your life will go a whole lot better for you. But in receiving and fellowshipping with God and receiving from Him, it doesn't matter. If you learn how to let go of who you are, where you are, make the exchange. It does require acknowledging, okay, I acknowledge my sin, I ask forgiveness. There's only a certain amount you're going to be able to wallow in that, though. I can't just sit there and wallow and lay down and, okay, God, come to me now. No, no, no. That's the first step of coming to where He is. Forgive me. We know how to do that, right? We come to the altar. Forgive them. Ooh, that's another one. It's one thing to say, Father, forgive me. But then God said, okay, now forgive them. Who's the them? Whoever your issue is. Okay, so you got to forgive you. God, forgive me. God, forgive them. I forgive them. Okay, those are foundational forgivenesses. Okay, now I can leave or I can continue. Now I want to exchange. Okay, I acknowledge who I am, where I am, but that's not who I am in you because you said some things about me that are a whole lot different than where I am, who I am in time. So what I learned to do is go stand after the forgiveness. And I start standing. Do I feel anything? Nope, not in the beginning. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am holy. And without blame, when everything in you is trying to remind you of what? Where you are, who you are. And everything you just did remind you of, how can you say you're holy without blame when you did what you did? Where you are and who you are, that's not where you're holding that blame at. Where you are and who you are has to go through a gate, an exchange, a believing. I have to believe, not work. Can I go and believe that I'm holy and without blame? Holy, unblameable. You present me faultless. There's no condemning sentence. I am unblameable. When it first started, like, everything in you roars because I'm trying to believe this, not do it. What the enemy wants to do is remind you of who you are, where you are, where you've been. What's he doing? Drag you back into his system to control you. What's God trying to do? Drag you into the face of God to liberate you. Where's my liberation? In the face of God. Where am I truly free? In Christ. Where does he stand? He'll come to me where I am, who I am, and where I am. He'll come to comfort me. He'll come How many of you ever had God come to you? That's not what your liberty and freedom is. He'll come and comfort you. Your liberty and freedom is to get out of where you are, who you are, where you are, into where he is. Where I am, saith the Lord, there shall you be also. I have got to come to where... Anybody getting anything here? I have to come to where he is. And to do that, I have to believe something. I don't feel like I'm holy. I'm not unblameable, and you're telling me to say it. But I am without blame. Okay, let's go back to the altar. Blood of Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. Okay, I'm forgiven. Did you believe you're forgiven? Now, I'm holy, unblameable. I go through all this thing. Forever perfected. What are you feeling about yourself? I'm not. But God had me do this in a season. He kept me, he said, keep doing it, keep going. And I'm like, God, I am not that person. He says, you are. But something happened. Did anything change where I am, who I am? Not much. Still pretty much a rascal at the time. With some issues. But I was escaping. And something started happening one day. I was just coming back, and I was identifying who I am, where I am in Christ, holy without blame. I kept doing it, and something started changing. One day, whoosh, he not only forgave me, not only washed me, suddenly he wrapped himself around me, and I felt holy, and he took that whole thing away from me. I didn't feel like that old man. I didn't feel it. I'm like, God, that was just an hour ago I was that old man. Now I'm a new man. And I felt like a new man. And he wasn't there. And the emotions weren't there. And the feelings weren't there. I entered in. Like Paul said, I'm found in him. I had let go of my standing. Wasn't much of standing anyway. But I let go of it. To embrace his. And suddenly by faith, whoosh, I come out of there so filled, so glorious. By the time I come out of the prayer call, out of the secret place, I was in victory. Nothing about where I had walked out of looked the same, felt the same. Now that'll throw people for a loop, especially like your husband and wife issues. Because you can do some really harmful things, say harmful things where you are and who you are. Then you can go in and make this exchange and come back. I'm in the righteousness of God. I truly made exchange. I got him. I'm going to come back and I'm smiling. I'm like, hi, honey. Who is this Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Just need to know which one I'm dealing with today. Just come back with Christ in you. But there was a literal exchange. I'm not who that person is. That's good for you, honey. But I'm still dealing with the effects of that other guy. Well, come on. I'll show you how to do it. And so gradually, Anna and I started learning how to do this. And then we started doing it in the church more. And when I learned to make that exchange, I realized God was trying to teach me something. If you're going to walk as a joint heir, do you think you're going to be perfect all your life? How are you ever going to get in the real high places with God if you can't make that exchange? Because that exchange is the principal place to get higher and higher with God. That exchange is what elevates you into the Father. That exchange would elevate you in the kingdom. That is the very foundational exchange to move freely in the kingdom. It's a glorious thing to do. How did I do it? I did it by faith. I didn't do it by works. I did it by faith. I achieved the position by what I believe. What happens when you do that? Faith is revealed. The righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. Say faith to faith. The just will live this way. Because the more you do it, the more that realm will get a hold of you and start changing this realm. Where you are and who you are starts gradually moving. It's kind of following. So the where I am, I'm not really that. Still have some of those capacities, but he's not manifesting all the time anymore. Suddenly you're starting to be transformed in the earthly realm with what you're entering into in the heavenly realm. Glory to glory. This is what Paul was saying. The righteousness is revealed from faith to faith, not works to works. You have to do this. When you ever hear you talk about exchange, I made the exchange. Do you know that we do this on Tuesday? That is a prerequisite. I can't be carrying all these issues up there. They have to stop at the throne. I can't go to the Father with all that stuff. Christ, the mediator, making the exchange. So, are you going to live a life of struggle? Are you going to live a life of works? A life of toil, a life of condemnation, a life of shame, a life of guilt? Or are you going to learn to recognize you're not perfect where you are, who you are, but in Christ you are? I can't make this place perfect here. Once I learned that, but I can go grab and stand in a place of perfection and come out feeling pretty holy without blame. Why? Because I have him now. I'm wearing his standing, not mine. That is achieved by faith. That is an inheritance given to every one of them. I'll close with this. When you as a person, husband, wife, minister, businessman, every one of us deal with something down here, where we are, who we are. If we don't know how to let go, we're going to have things compact and compact and compact. If we live a life of compression, to where you just keep compacting and compacting, and you don't know how to get it off, you're going to have an out. You'll have to find an out. There'll be an out, or you're going to blow your top. Some people's out is anger. They explode out of anger. It's because they're not dealing with the compression of life. They don't know how to let go. So they blow the top. Other people deal with it in different ways. The way we're designed to deal with it is to go through that door and make that exchange. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden. Because God doesn't want you to live in a life of compression and compactness. He wants you free. You're never going to walk free if you don't understand what I'm talking about today. The enemy will corral you with your own stuff all the time. If you're going to walk free and full of the Spirit of God, you have to learn this realm. When you learn it, it is a learned operation. You learn of him. It's a operation of faith. You're not going to start out perfect, but it will grow. And you'll get better and better and better to the day you are just the worst ever. And you make the exchange and come back perfect. Man, I feel good. Da-da-da-da-da. How can that be? You should not feel like that way. I learned never to wallow in my shame. There is a place, and I'm going to tell you this, my second close, he never changes. When he's in the office of high priest, he never changes. You can't upset him. It's impossible. He is full of mercy all the time, full of love all the time. When you learn to receive like this, he is so constant. He just accepts you. Come on, I accept you. Come on, I accept you. I've been dealing with the same thing for 10 years. I love you. They've been dealing with the same thing for 10 years. I still love you. But then that other realm will start winning out. Because that righteousness will start winning out and start keep pulling you over into. And all of a sudden things change. Like, this is how we do it. I do it by faith. And this is where we do it. Throne of Grace. Have a whole series on it at the website. RightHandOfGod.com. Throne of Grace. Make the exchange. If you want to learn how to do that more, learn of the place I'm talking about. It is a major place of liberty. Because nothing, I'm telling you, nothing can have a hold on you. The better you get at this, and you can unload stuff. I remember when we had a church split. It was really bad back in 2005. And back then, I didn't know how to do this because we hadn't learned the right hand of God. And it was so heavy for me, I just stopped doing Sunday mornings. Chuck took over. To be around anybody, and when I be around church, I just showed up and went home. Because I was hurting bad. I didn't know how to get the hurt off. I didn't know how to get the trespass off. There are people that hurt me deeply, and I didn't know how to deal with the hurt during that time. They trespassed and tore things down, and I thought our life was over. And then God started teaching me how to overcome trespasses. He said, I never designed you to try to forgive and deal with something like that in the natural. That is a spiritual force that once came to destroy your life. He taught me how to bring people to the same thing. Trespasses, hurts, wounds, depths of betrayal. When I learned to exchange betrayal, I remember the time when the betrayal was broken and lifted, and oh my God, I didn't carry that burden anymore. It was so liberating. And then all of a sudden, somebody else along the way betrayed the same way, but it didn't affect me because I was able to take that betrayal and release it to God. And what took me 6 months to get over last time, I got over in 3 days. I carried that first thing over 6 or 9 months. I didn't know how. But once I learned how to do it, still same spirit of betrayal. He'd come around every once in a while. But I learned to unload that thing. And I wasn't carrying it anymore. In 3 days, he was off. I was free. That's the power of the throne of grace. That's the power. He'll deal with anything and everything that constitutes a burden in your life. A shame, a guilt, a condemnation. He is your high priest. He is your intercessor. He is your advocate, and he knows how to deal with the stuff, but you got to do it with him where he is, and you got to know what you're doing, and you got to do it by faith and understand who you are in this place called holy and without blame. Say holy and without blame. Let's all stand. Give him glory. Hallelujah.